We're talking about eviction and the housing crisis here in Wisconsin this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, put a moratorium on evictions that's set to expire at the end of the year, but renters may need protections well into 2021 and beyond as COVID-19 continues to surge here in our state, not to mention, you know, we're heading into the cold months and unemployment assistance has been severely backlogged. The CDC said evictions could worsen the spread of COVID-19. Are you behind on rent? What questions do you have about your rights? Do you fear eviction when the federal ban is lifted? Are you a landlord? How are you working with your tenants? What are you experiencing? We're at 800-642-1234. Heidi Wegleitner is a housing attorney practicing eviction defense in Dane County with Legal Action Wisconsin. Heidi, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So there is this federal moratorium in place. What does that mean in practice?
That's a great question. The federal moratorium that went into effect on September 4th is not automatic in that it doesn't just automatically halt the filing of evictions. It actually, you know, requires a tenant to take action and only covers tenants that sign a declaration under penalty of perjury and deliver a signed declaration to their landlord. And the declaration requires the tenant to certify to a number of facts related to their situation. So it's really important that people know about the requirements of the order in order to seek that protection.
Where do tenants even find this declaration?
Well, it is, you know, available in a lot of places that serve tenants, including at Legal Action's website, legalaction.org, under additional resources and housing information. It's actually an attachment to the CDC order itself. So if you can, you know, find the CDC order online by you know, Googling CDC mm-hmm. order evictions, that attachment should be available on their website as well. Organizations like the Tenant Resource Center in Wisconsin have developed tools that help people understand if they, you know, can truthfully sign the declaration and then help them, you know, sign that and get that to their landlord and file it with the court. It's, you know, I'm having tenants sign the official CDC approved declaration form, but that's actually not required. You can sign something that is essentially similar, but under penalty of perjury, attesting to the same facts.
So the CDC said here the intent of this eviction ban was to slow the spread of COVID. It's not necessarily a response to the economic fallout of this crisis. Can you explain that distinction?
Yes. So the intent in the order is clear. Actually, you know, it says the statement of intent and that the order shall be interpreted and implemented in a manner to achieve the following objectives. And all three of those objectives relate to the COVID-19 response and mitigating the spread of COVID-19 within shelters like congregate or shared living settings. So being doubled up with, you know, another family or friend, or, you know, living in an unsheltered situation, camping in tents. Also to mitigate the further spread of COVID-19 from one state to another state or territory. And then to support the response efforts to COVID-19 of federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal levels. So that is the lens through which this order should be interpreted. It's to stop, to mitigate the spread, because they note in kind of the background information that, you know, living in a congregate setting or moving in with another household or living in an unsheltered experience can really increase your risk of infection. And this is trying to stop that.
We're talking with Heidi Wegleitner, who is a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin. We're looking at evictions and the housing challenges here in Wisconsin, taking your questions as well. Have you applied for rental assistance, or are you in the process of doing that? What questions do you have about your rights, about how the process works? We're at 800-642-1234. Heidi, does this moratorium outlaw all evictions? Is it a blanket moratorium, or are there exceptions?
There are exceptions. The order says that specifically that it does not preclude an eviction based on, you know, certain types of other lease violations. So an eviction could still proceed based on a tenant engaging in criminal activity while on the premises, or if a tenant is threatening the health or safety of other residents, if a tenant is damaging or posing an immediate and significant risk of damage to property, violating a building code or health ordinance or similar regulation related to health and safety, or violating any other contractual obligation other than the timely payment of rent or similar housing fees. So it is not cover and prevent all evictions. It only, you know, it does allow the, you know, those limited enumerated exceptions that really relate to tenant misconduct and health and safety and preventing property destruction. And importantly, it's not going to have any impact if a tenant does not sign and deliver this declaration. And maybe I should say what that declaration entails.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, under penalty of perjury, the tenant has to state that they've used best efforts to obtain all government assistance for renter housing, that they earn no more than $99,000 in annual income for 2020, or they didn't, they're not required to report income to the IRS, or they received a COVID stimulus check, that they're unable to pay full rent or make a full housing payment because they had a substantial loss of income, they lost hours of work or wages, they were laid off, or have extraordinary out-of-pocket medical expenses, that they're using their best efforts to make timely partial payments as close to their individual circumstances may permit, and taking into account other expenses, and that if evicted, they'd likely become homeless or have to move into a shelter or another residence shared by other people because they don't have other housing options. And they also need to recognize that they still need to pay rent and comply with their rental agreement, and that they can still be charged for fees and penalties and interest, and that at the end of the temporary halt on evictions at the end of this calendar year, their housing provider can require that payment in full and pursue eviction if that payment's, you know, not made. So it's a lot of things that the tenant has to, you know, has to apply to their situation, and then they have to truthfully sign and then deliver that to their landlord to stop landlord efforts to evict or remove them.
We're talking with housing attorney Heidi Wegleitner, who's our guide from Legal Action Wisconsin, looking at evictions, the housing crisis in our state. Have you fallen behind on rent? Have you sought out legal help? Are you worried about losing your home or ruining your credit score due to joblessness in the pandemic? 800-642-1234 is where we're at. Back in a minute with Heidi Wegleitner here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, the COVID-19 pandemic has intensified the housing crisis, and we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Since March, landlords have filed more than 60,000 evictions in 17 cities, including Milwaukee. They're being tracked by the Princeton University Eviction Lab system. Evictions have been falling in Milwaukee since peaking in the summer, with 88 reported in the Princeton system last week. Have you applied for rental assistance, or are you in the process? What questions do you have about how that works? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Heidi Wegleitner, who is a housing attorney at Legal Action Wisconsin, and she stays with us for the hour. Heidi, it seems that the federal moratorium sets a very high bar for due diligence. Are you seeing evictions go through right now?
We are. In fact, this week, it seems like even though the court calendar in Dane County was very small, we got a number of calls related to people who were facing basically an immediate, imminent, eviction from the sheriff because the landlord had filed for essentially a judgment based on their inability to comply with a settlement agreement, an eviction stipulation. So people are going to court and trying to work something out with their landlord. And then, if they're not able to make the payments, the landlords are going in and getting a judgment and the eviction order called a writ. And then, the tenant is really scrambling to see if they can try to get protection from this order because they weren't able to make the required payment under the payment plan. So there is no other hearing typically that takes place before that judgment in an eviction order would go forward if a landlord is seeking to enforce one of those eviction agreements, those payment plans entered into at court. So we are dealing with a lot of those type of emergency situations. And it's a scramble. I mean, this is a weird time to be trying to get access to the courts. Hearings are taking place, through Zoom in many places, including Dane County, or people can appear over the phone. A lot of services that maybe used to be accessible through the courthouse because of the pandemic are being provided virtually, including, Legal Action of Wisconsin's services by and large. So it's challenging because we are, this is such a different time to know how many people are just moving out because they don't know about their rights. Or are being, evicted before they get a chance to ask the court to stop it because they may have signed this declaration and qualify for this protection.
Heidi, what's happening at the state level? What protections are in place for eviction at the state level?
Well, there's really nothing in place, specific to the pandemic. An emergency order 15 that was in effect for 2 months earlier in the pandemic from late March to late May. But at this time, there is no local or state moratoria. And that's why, this CDC order applies. In other jurisdictions, there are some places that have even more protections than, the CDC order. And the order is clear that if there are, more protections, then, this order doesn't apply and that, this order is meant to really be sort of a floor and that, state and local governments can pursue their additional, protections based on the pandemic. So there has been some, since the state moratorium expired May 26th, the Evers administration has provided rent assistance to help people who are, have faced this income loss. So many people struggling right now with the loss of wages and unemployment. And there was $25 million allocated statewide through a Wisconsin rental assistance program in May. And last week, he announced another $10 million to go into that program to help people, pay rent arrears. I think that $10 million infusion is really a realization that $25 million was basically exhausted. So there really is a tremendous need that is not addressed by the CDC order. The CDC order does not cancel any rent obligations. It does not provide any rent assistance. It just temporarily
holds everything back for the time being.
A landlord's right to evict if this declaration is served on them.
Talking with Heidi Wegleitner, a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin, we're discussing the state of evictions, the federal moratorium. Are you a landlord or a property owner? How has the pandemic affected you and your financial stability? What are you telling tenants right now? And how are you doing? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Heiner joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Heiner.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm involved with the Apartment Association of Milwaukee, and we're doing very well in our cooperation with tenant groups in trying to not evict people. After all, landlords don't make any money when they have to evict someone. The unfortunate aspect is that this whole thing could work much better. I mean, the governor has been great in putting in extra funds. We have tracked dozens and dozens of cases in Milwaukee County, and the problem, the reason why it doesn't work as well as it should, is that almost none of the tenants are agreeing to use their best efforts to pay at least partial rent. I had a case where a tenant was on UC. Obviously, her income has been cut. Obviously, she can't pay full rent. Certainly, the landlord wouldn't want to evict her if he didn't have to. But the tenant made no effort at all to even pay, let's say, $100 a month, so the landlord could maybe cover his water bill or his taxes. And that has been the big sticking point. The statistics do show that evictions are down dramatically. And unfortunately, the part that isn't working is having tenants pay something so that the landlords will work with them until January when the moratorium ends, which would keep people from getting evicted in the middle of winter.
Heiner, thank you. Heidi, are you seeing that sentiment that Heiner is bringing to the table here?
I haven't seen that. I would say that in my experience, tenants want to pay, and in many cases have tried to make payments, but partial payments had been previously rejected, and they may have a substantial balance because they've been out of work for a long time. But they have income on the way, or, and they're trying to get work and they're trying to get assistance. Certainly I would counsel tenants that it is absolutely important that if you have an ability to pay, that you pay what you can, because this balance doesn't go away. It doesn't vanish. And if you're just going to get further behind, and I don't think people, I think tenants understand that it's at the same time, many people prior to this pandemic were experiencing a really high housing cost burden because there really is a huge need for affordable housing, and wages have not kept up with the cost of living and with the high rents that are out there. So I think people are really struggling to make ends meet in a number of ways and deal with a number of competing financial obligations.
Being severely cost burdened on your living situation, how does that affect the rest of your budget and the rest of your life?
It's a constant. It's toxic stress. It's constant, trying to figure out do I pay my car note this month so I can keep the job that I have and they won't take my car back? Oh, but I also have to pay rent. And what about those utilities? They're really, really difficult choices. the common definition, like from HUD, in terms of what is affordable housing, is if you're paying about 30% of your monthly income towards your housing payment, and you're severely cost burdened if you're paying more than 50% of your monthly income towards your housing payment. And there's just way too many people in that situation. We have had a housing crisis in this country before COVID, and this is much more serious situation now.
Housing attorney Heidi Wegleitner, our guide about what is to come in Wisconsin, what assistance could help renters stay in their homes. How has your financial situation intensified, worsened as a result of the pandemic? How have you coped? Have you been able to keep up with rent? What happens next? What questions do you have about eviction and tenant rights? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's a conversation about evictions and the housing crisis in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are staring down the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. Millions of Americans are fighting to stay in their homes. And according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, Wisconsin has a shortage of rental homes that are affordable and available to extremely low-income households. Many of these households are what's called severely cost-burdened, as we've been talking about. They're spending more than half of their income on housing. Does this describe the situation you're in? Is making rent infringing on your ability to put food on the table or make a car payment or care for your family? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. We have Heidi Wegleitner, who is a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Well, let's take another call now. Judy is joining us from Oneida County this morning. Hi, Judy.
Hello. I have a couple of questions. We had a parent who we learned who had quit his job mid-August. He has done nothing to make any kind of payment. We asked that he pay a $33 WPS bill, and he first said he got distracted. So our question is, and we also gave him the form that it indicates, you know, I can't work and, you know, everything else. He's got nothing to complete that form and return it to us. So with that information, would we be able to, and would it be appropriate to move forward with the eviction since he's done nothing to make any kind of payment, nothing to our knowledge in terms of seeking employment? Those are my questions.
Judy, thanks. Heidi.
Thanks. And I should be clear that I can't give legal advice as part of this program. But I will just reiterate that, you know, evictions are not prohibited from being filed. And what's required for a tenant to pursue protection is to sign and deliver that CDC declaration. If there is no, you know, delivered CDC declaration, the landlord would not be violating an order if they filed for eviction.
You know, Heidi, the last time we talked about this issue of evictions, it was late August, September, maybe. But someone wrote in and said, you know, look, I am a property owner of some properties, a small scale landlord, they describe themselves. But I, too, am furloughed. I, too, care for children. And no one is talking about the situation that I'm in. What are property owners facing here who have tenants?
I think that's an important point. And I really think that, you know, this is a concern, and that landlords and tenants, or property owners and property renters, have in common. Renters don't benefit, you know, if a landlord loses their property or doesn't have income to maintain the property, up to code. And this, you know, really also identifies the gaps in the order and gaps in the relief that's available right now, which is that, you know, people don't have income to make their payments. And that's true for owners and renters alike. So the CDC order really doesn't address that loss of income. And like a rent assistance program can to help the owners get the income they need to subsidize that loss. And like other, support programs for rental property owners, small business owners.
Let's bring in Chad now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
All right. So I do am a small-scale landlord or property owner, and I do offer what I believe is affordable housing in the sense that I have studios or efficiencies. So I have a particular tenant who is not employed, to my knowledge, and has already at least received 3 months in assistance. And so she's completely unable to make any payments at all. And I'm wondering ethically, what is a landlord supposed to do? I certainly want to see her stay, and she has a small baby. But I also, have to pay the bills. So I'm really wondering how far this is going to go.
Chad, thank you for bringing that situation. Heidi, I would imagine you see those situations quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a really tough time out there. And I appreciate Chad and his concern for his tenants and the desire to try to maintain that tenant. But the practical implication of there not being assistance available for this parent and tenant. I don't have a good answer for you, Chad. I do know that, like I said earlier in the hour, an additional $10 million is being allocated through the state Wisconsin Rental Assistance Program. And I'm not sure if that's the source of the prior payment that was made. Again, there's a real need out there for more funds to be made available so that tenants can get caught up and property owners can pay the bills that they have as well.
Heidi, how
there
important
are mortgage, forbearance options out there that can be pursued. Of course, forbearance is not forgiveness, but I would certainly encourage homeowners to look into those programs as well.
Heidi, how important is it to have an open communication between that tenant and landlord, and what does that communication look like?
I think that communication is huge right now. And will go a long way potentially to preserving that relationship and, correcting any misunderstanding about what a tenant might be doing, what they might be pursuing, and potentially, preventing some eviction that might be filed. And so I do think it's important that landlords and tenants communicate. I also, encourage people to, it's fine to talk on the phone, but to reduce understandings to writing, so it's clear and there's a record of what is happening, so people don't misremember what agreements may have been made or what actions may have been taken. I think sometimes landlords and tenants are really communicative. Sometimes tenants have a really tough time communicating with large property management organizations, and the people that they might be trying to communicate with might not have, you know, decision-making authority, and it can be really challenging. And certainly, prior to this COVID CDC order, it was really common for landlords to, in my experience, just refuse any type of partial payment. And that is really difficult for tenants who have a lot of competing financial obligations to be able to hold on to that money and not to fall further and further behind. So it really, the CDC order that it talks about making, you know, partial payments requires many these property management companies to sort of rethink what their practices were in terms of accepting these partial payments and additional training on what this order entails. So I don't, you know, I think maybe with smaller organizations and more mom and pop type landlords, communication can be a little easier, but I know that there are difficulties when you're dealing with large property management groups.
We're talking with Heidi Wegleitner, who's a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin. We're looking at Wisconsin's housing crisis, the federal ban on evictions, and what comes next. Let's bring in Ray now in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Hi, I have two quick points. My first point is anybody listening, immediately, if you're in trouble with your landlord, just start talking to that person. My landlord, I'm a stagehand, and we were some of the first workers in the country to totally lose our jobs. I guess my last real working would have been the first week of March. And I immediately went to my landlord and I said, look, either I'm going to have to move or give me a reduction in rent. And he immediately agreed to 25% off my rent. And with my unemployment, I was able to pay that. But here's the caveat. The Democrats across this country are so quick, especially Mr. Evers and other governors, to shut down the economy before they have put out the safety net. That's like throwing people overboard from a sinking ship.
Okay.
And just, right? I mean, first, you have to have the safety net before you do the shutdown. And the safety net also includes the landlords.
Ray, thank you for that. And Ray was able to get that 25% off rent. Heidi, do you see negotiations happening?
Yes, there are negotiations happening. I would say that a landlord, agreeing to a reduction in rent is rather remarkable, because nothing requires them to do that, but they must value Ray as a tenant and not want to see him leave. In areas like in Dane County, where we've experienced, for the last several years, a very, very low vacancy rate, it really has been a landlord's market. And so they can be very choosy about their tenants and quick to go to eviction because they know it'll be easy to fill that unit. It's such a tight market for tenants seeking housing with little vacancies. So
I'm going to pause there with housing attorney Heidi Wegleitner from Legal Action Wisconsin. We'll pick this up in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, we're talking about the housing crisis here in Wisconsin. What can be done about it? We have housing attorney Heidi Wegleitner as our guide from Legal Action Wisconsin. According to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, more than 250,000 renters in Wisconsin need help. Estimates our state will need close to $1.5 billion in funding to help keep residents in their homes through next June. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. So Heidi, let's look into some particulars here. What if your landlord wants to put your apartment up for rent and show it to prospective renters during this time of falling behind on rent?
Well, that's not prohibited as long as the landlord is complying with the laws related to landlord entry in terms of providing the required 12-hour notice, and of course following the orders applicable about wearing of masks and things like that.
Do people have any recourse if their landlord is not fixing broken things in their apartment during this time?
Absolutely. I mean, all the state laws and regulations that, you know, impose duties on landlords to maintain the property to code still apply. And, you know, if the landlord is not maintaining the property, tenants should call their local building inspector and document the condition of the property and talk to an attorney about other remedies they might have, including rent abatement.
Can landlords shut off utilities if the utilities are included in the rent payment and tenants aren't paying rent during this moratorium?
Absolutely not. Okay. That is an illegal eviction, and that is subject to, you know, it's a violation of a consumer protection rule, and it subjects a landlord to double damages and attorney's fees. It's a landlord should not be doing that.
Will evictions as a result of COVID and the crisis here have the same impact on people's credit scores as it would were it not a pandemic?
That is a good question. And I'm not sure I can answer it off the top of my head. I can say that eviction filings are really problematic. Folks are probably familiar with our CCAP or the Online Unofficial Court Record System. And so if an eviction is filed against a tenant and then, you know, subsequently dismissed because they worked something out with their landlord or they moved out or they entered into a payment plan or they, you know, it was dismissed because of the CDC order, that eviction still stays on CCAP for a couple years, even when it's dismissed. And it is used by landlords to deny people housing. And it really creates this housing barrier for people, these eviction filings. And the balances owed to landlords can make it really hard to find housing in the future. So it's really concerning how this current crisis and a potential spike in evictions that we're expecting in January could impact people's ability to get housing for years to come.
Yeah, let's look ahead, if you will, to January. When and if this moratorium is lifted, what might happen, Heidi?
Well, you know, it's, of course, the worst time in Wisconsin to become homeless, of course, throughout the country because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but also in the bitter cold of winter in January. And people are understandably afraid of going to shelters right now because they don't want to contract COVID-19 and share bathrooms and meals space and everything else. So this order was in response to a concern that 30 to 40 million people throughout the country would be facing eviction without a moratorium in place. So, you know, we're looking at those sorts of numbers come January in the middle of, you know, brutal Wisconsin winter with state and local government trying to figure out what to do with the existing homeless population and find safe shelter when people should not be sleeping outside, especially in the winter. And they have to be able to do so safely. They have to be able to be physically distant and make sure that the CDC guidelines for sheltering are being followed. So it is very concerning about, you know, to see that this is temporary and set to end at the end of December. And there aren't, you know, really plans in place to deal with it. And we could be experiencing tens of millions of evictions in the middle of this winter.
We're talking with Heidi Wegleitner, a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin. We're spending the hour on housing challenges here in our state and the fight to stay in one's home in this time of crisis. Taking your calls and questions at 800-642-1234. Margaret called from Mount Horeb, couldn't stay with us. And Margaret's done foreclosures for years, says we need to understand both sides of this. If the landlord has a mortgage and accepts a partial payment from a tenant, the mortgage lender won't accept that partial payment due to the way the mortgage is written. And Margaret wanted to make sure that that distinction is aired. Heidi?
Yeah, I mean, this is complicated, and there's lots of angles to it, and I'm not trying to fault any, you know, property owner or mortgage holder, but the order says that people should make efforts to make partial payments, and when they sign that declaration, they're saying they're going to do that, and they certainly don't want to get further behind, so I think some payment is better than no payment.
So let me ask you this, you know, when COVID is in the rearview mirror, do you see reforms on the horizon? Will we look differently at eviction and the process? Will we look at it in a new way after this pandemic?
You know, that's a really good question. And I guess I hope so. You know, 100 years ago, evictions were really rare and uncommon. And when an eviction was carried out, it was like a really big deal and everyone knew about it. And we've gotten to a point now where evictions are so common that it's a fact of life. And it, you know, it certainly disproportionately impacts communities of color, and it's very traumatic and destabilizing. So I guess one silver lining is that this crisis is really elevating the problem of evictions and the limits of our current housing situation in this country, and maybe will result in a change in how we look at evictions and how housing is made available.
What would you say is the state of Wisconsin's affordable housing? What are our challenges there in affordable housing? And is it statewide?
It is a challenge. I mean, you need to make $1,727 per hour to afford housing, according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition. And you need to work to afford a 2-bedroom unit, you need to work 95 hours per week at minimum wage. So for folks who are, you know, working minimum wage jobs, it's absolutely impossible to exist. You should never have to work 95 hours a week just to be able to afford a place to live, a 2-bedroom apartment. So this is a serious problem. There's a huge affordable housing shortage in Wisconsin. And many people were struggling before this pandemic. And now it's just, you know, really, really difficult situation with so many more people in this situation. And
Heidi, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Heidi Wegleitner is a housing attorney with Legal Action Wisconsin. Just ahead, it is 1A. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.